Some theologians see our lives as on a chessboard. We make a move, and then God responds with a counter move. These modern thinkers feel that God gives us totally free will and then adapts himself to our choices as we make them. To these theologians, the future for God is an unfinished novel. Today, we'll see another lie exploded. Please stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on lie number 7, that God doesn't know our future decisions.
Let's begin today by taking an imaginary journey. Let us suppose that someone has been following you ever since you were born and accurately recording everything you have ever done. Let us suppose that this knowledge is so accurate that it includes the number of times that you have flicked your eyelids, the number of steps that you have taken. All of the decisions that you have made would all be recorded in minute detail. Let's suppose also that every word that you have ever spoken would be recorded and transcribed. All words, the good words, the bad words, they are all there. Now, I read somewhere that the average person speaks enough in a lifetime to fill a good-sized library. Now, I know some people, I think, whose library is a lot bigger than others. And sometimes it's not necessarily related to their age. But nevertheless, imagine hundreds of volumes with everything that you have ever said, every word breathed, whispered, or shouted. But let us suppose also that this library were to include all of your thoughts, that stream of consciousness that pours through your mind all of the hours that you are awake, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now imagine the number of volumes about you, because that library would be bigger than the other two put together, because most people think before they talk or even act. Imagine it. Now, let's suppose that it not only included that knowledge, but knowledge that was potential about you, that would be true of you if you'd been brought up in a different home, a different country, different circumstances, you'd have reacted differently. Let's suppose that all that knowledge was also a part of this library. Now we're not just talking about thousands of volumes. Now we're talking about millions of volumes, all about you and what you would have done in every conceivable situation on planet Earth. All the decisions that you have made are all there. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that God had all that knowledge about you already 1,000 years ago? Did God know you that thoroughly? Or could it be that there are all kinds of things that God didn't know about you until you showed up on the scene? He had no idea what decisions you were going to make until you were alive and made them. In evangelical circles today, there is a debate. And the debate is whether or not God knows the decisions of free creatures ahead of time. Some of these theologians are saying that God is like a superior chess player, and we are the amateurs. Now, if you're playing chess, you don't know what that amateur is going to do. But you do know this, that you have thought of various potentialities, and if he moves here, then you're going to counteract the move there. But there's no way for you to predict what his next move is going to be. That's the way in which they view God. Now, as you know, this is a series of messages titled 10 Lies About God and How You Already Might Be Deceived. We've covered such lies that are as diverse, and I will not mention them all, such as the lie that God is more tolerant than he used to be, the lie that God has never suffered. Last time, we covered the lie that God takes no responsibility for natural disasters. And today, we come to another lie. The lie that God does not foreknow the decisions that we will make, and therefore he has to wait until we make them. That's the lie. I can imagine there's somebody here who says, well, you know, these theologians, They are always trying to think of some little thing to discuss. Why don't you think about something important for a change? What if I were to tell you that this doctrine actually impinges upon your salvation? What if I were to tell you that it undercuts all possibility that you can daily trust God? What if I were to tell you that at the end of the day, it is an assault on Christian theology? Let's suppose that there would be a missile that would leave a silo in Colorado for Moscow, and it's only off by 1 degree. I can imagine that there are some scientists who say, you know, what's all the fuss? I mean, 1 degree? I mean, there are 360 degrees in a circle. What's 1 degree? Let them have their error. But by the time it gets to Moscow, it's missed its target by hundreds of miles. Sometimes 1 degree matters. Sometimes one theological error matters. This one does. Well, let me give you a brief history. And I just was thinking this morning about the privilege that I have to preach here at Moody Church. And I just want to look into your eyes for a moment and tell you something. I would rather preach here than any place I have ever preached in all the world. First of all, the very fact that you folks put up with me is a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. But also, you actually listen to these theological discourses, which I think is remarkable. In fact, the experts tell us that's not supposed to happen. You can't do this type of thing in church, we're being told. Well, somehow, it's happening here, and you folks just keep showing up. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'd like to begin today by getting a bit into the history of where this idea began that God is finite with respect to knowledge. What is its history? Is it biblical? What impact does it have? And then we're going to talk about God's knowledge of us specifically. By the time we're finished, there will be something here for all of us. Trust me. The early Greeks had this view of God, their gods, plural. They wanted to have such radical human freedom that not even their gods could control what they would do, and not only control their actions, but these gods would not know in advance what anyone would do. They wanted to be free even from the knowledge that God would have about their intimate decisions. During the time of the Reformation, there was a man by the name of Faustus Socinus. And he actually interacted with the Reformers, and he took this idea, and he believed that the Bible was only the Word of God, and those things that he believed it was authoritative in, rejected the rest. But one of the things he said is that God is not omniscient. That is to say, God does not know everything. And then he redefined omniscience, however, this way. He said, God is omniscient as long as we understand he knows all things that can be known. But the decisions that we are going to make, since they have not yet happened, are unknowable to God. So yes, he said, I believe in omniscience, if it is redefined. In our country, William James is perhaps the greatest example of a believer in a finite God and God's finite knowledge. May I quote his words directly? He said he cannot foresee exactly what any one actual move of his adversary might be. He knows, however, the possible moves of the latter, and he knows in advance how to meet each one by a move of his own. There you get the idea of a chess game. God doesn't know what your move is going to be, but he has some ideas in mind and will counter your move once you make yours. William James, in another text, talks about the fact that God is indeed finite and said that we have to help him fight evil because he is so finite, he might not be able to pull it off on his own. Now that leads me to some evangelical theologians who want to be known as people who believe in the Bible, to teach in our schools, and they would like to say that they accept at least that part of James' teaching and that part of what was known as Socinianism. For example, Clark Pinnock at McMaster Divinity College in Canada. I was just thinking about this the other day. Took out a little time to do a little bit of math. You know, I've always said that when it comes to arithmetic, as long as I'm right 90% of the time, who in the world cares about the other 5%? I did a little bit of math and discovered it's been nearly 30 years ago I studied under Clark Pinnock. I had a course from him here in Chicago. He was a wonderful, delightful man. Interesting, engaging, and in many ways a very model individual. But even then, I strongly disagreed with what he was trying to teach us, because it was in those days that he was forming the ideas that he has now written about so extensively. And he and I had some very interesting discussions. Let me quote him on this point. God interacts with his creatures in a changing situation. He learns about our decisions as they happen, not before they happen. His experience of the world is open, and he is involved in the ongoing cause of events. And so Pinnock has been a leading light, wanting still to be called an evangelical, denying that God knows the decisions of free creatures. More recently, Greg Boyd, who teaches at Bethel College, has written along these lines, quote, "If we have been given freedom, we create the reality of our own decisions by making them. So God can't foreknow the good and the bad decisions of the people he creates until he creates those people and they create their decisions. The free will is such that God can't know what we're going to do until we do it." You know that in the history of theology, there has been a debate between what is known as Arminianism and Calvinism. There was a man by the name of Jacob Arminius who said that we have free will, and therefore when the Bible says that God elects people, he elects them on the basis of his foreknowledge, but we have freedom of the will. On the other side was Calvin and some of those other theologians who said, well, if our will were completely as free as you want it to be, none of us would believe. Thankfully, it's not. God invades our will and shows us the truth and gives us the grace to believe. All right. You have the Jonathan Edwards as a Calvinist, for example, and you have Charles Wesley, or John Wesley, I should say, John Wesley, the great revivalist, who is more Arminian. Now, I need to tell you that both of those streams of thought are in theology, and both of them are considered to be within the circle of evangelicalism. You can believe one or you can believe the other, and you can be known as an evangelical. The problem is this view that we're talking about this morning goes much more beyond that. Because traditional Arminianism and Calvinism together, they always believe that God knew in detail the decisions that people would make. That was never in dispute. Today, it is.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of The Lie That God Doesn't Know Our Future Decisions, the 7th of 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Monday, more on an ongoing theological battleground. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you find God's roadmap for your race of life. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a series on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Your letters are always welcome. Write one to Dr. Lutzer at Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.